You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily podcast on the Toronto Blue Jays, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to Locked On Blue Jays, your daily dose of Toronto Blue Jays talk directly into your headspace, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, AJ Andrews at JaysFromTheCouch.com, and this episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. And we are discussing a very built team right now. The Blue Jays have just finished rampaging through the NL East, going 5-1 in their last week against NL East opponents. It's been fun. And we talked about it a little bit the previous couple days, heading into the Phillies series, and then we talked about the Phillies series with Dan Wilson of Locked On Phillies. Make sure you're subscribed so you can go back and check those episodes if you haven't heard them already. And yeah, there's a lot to kind of feel good about with this team. We're going to be focusing on the pitching a little later, but I have to start, of course, with our boy, the MVP. Like, I'm just going to say it now. I'm sorry. Mike Trout wants an MVP. He can tell his team to get good. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. just liked everything he saw from Philadelphia on the weekend. Homering in all three games against the Phillies. Taking Vince Velasquez deep on Friday. Aaron Nola deep on Saturday. And then Brandon Kintzler late on Sunday. I know. I thought Chase Anderson gave up the home run too. He gave up everything else to the Blue Jays that day. And for that, we thank you, Chase Anderson. Yeah, finally got the Blue Jays a win with your pitching. Atta B, buddy. But we've been hyping up Vladdy for a bit. But I think it's kind of hard to quantify it and really put him into discussion as that MVP. I mean, it's pretty easy for me to do. I've been saying it for months because I have no shame. I will just say it outright that Vladdy's going to get, like, top three MVP voting, and he should win it. But let's just compare where he's at with some of the other players in the league. What he's been able to do is just assert himself in the top 10 in basically every category. Runs, he's tied for ninth. By the way, Bo Bichette tied for the league lead in runs heading into today's games at 33 with J.D. Martinez and Ronald Acuna. Batting average, he is currently sitting 13th at .319, but that's still pretty good. Home runs, after his binge against the Phillies, he's now tied for 5th. Shohei Ohtani's leading with 13. And then Aaron Judge, Ronald Acuna Jr., and Mitch Haniger are tied with 12. Mitch Haniger, that's a name I have not heard in a long time. RBI's Vladdy is currently tied for 8th, along with his teammate Randall Grichuk, who, if you had Randall Grichuk as the co-RBI leader in mid-May, I mean, kudos. Even I didn't have that much faith. But only 4 back of leader Rafael Devers. Here's something I like seeing. Walks, he is tied for 6th in the league. Like American and National League, tied for 6th with 27 walks. And of the top 10 players, in terms of walks, only Yandy Diaz of Tampa Bay has fewer strikeouts than Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Vladdy's actually tied with Carlos Santana at 26. Carlos has a few more walks. Here are the GC numbers, though. On base percentage, Vladdy is currently second in Major League Baseball behind one Michael Q. Trout. And I'm just saying that because I have no idea what Mike Trout's middle name is. If you know, tweet me and tell me it. But yeah, that 440 on base percentage is lovely. In terms of slugging percentage, his 609 is now number 7 in the league, behind guys like Acuna, Bryant, Trout, Otani, Bogarts, and for some reason, Nick Castellanos. I know, I can't explain it either. But you combine that and get the OPS up, and again, he is second behind Mr. Trout in Anaheim. With a 1.049 OPS. That's on base plus slugging. These are insane numbers for him to put up at this age. I mean, we all knew he had it in him. But still, to see it happen, it lifts your heart. Actually seeing it. Actually tied for second in the league in WAR, too. That's wins above replacement. He's tied with Trout and JD Martinez at 2.1. 0.1 back of Max Muncy of the Dodgers, who actually leads the league. So that's a lot of numbers I just threw at you. But, I mean, y'all saw what he did to that Kinsler pitch, right? I mean, that thing was sent into the Gulf of Mexico, essentially. Like, there was no mercy from Vladdy. And especially in that Sunday game, where it turned out to be very important that the Blue Jays got their offense going and got all the runs that they did off of Chase Anderson. It kind of seemed to boost the whole team a little bit. Like, the whole team had a really good day on Sunday. Everyone got at least a hit. Marcus Semien went 3-for-5 in the leadoff spot. He's been getting better. That pushed his average up to 269. That's exactly what you want to see out of Marcus. Bo Bichette went 2-for-5. He's up to 275. We actually know Bo can do better. But even guys like Lourdes Gurriel Jr. and Danny Jansen having themselves days. Lourdes was 2-for-5. Danny was 2-for-3 with a run scored and an RBI. Just a 6 RBI. And his batting average is now 123. But hey, at least he's not Scott Kingery. Oh my God, Scott Kingery. That contract the Phillies gave him looks so bad. It is so, so bad. It's like the anti-Gurriel. But yeah, as much as I've bemoaned the Blue Jays offense for being too heavily weighted on one player, it kind of helps when that one player is having an MVP caliber season. And actually has some support around him. Because, I mean, like I said, Mike Trout, I just feel sorry at this point. I mean, I'm recording this late Monday night. And he did just go off with an injury in that game tonight against Cleveland. So, you know, there are some worries there. He has a calf strain, apparently. So we'll see how long that keeps them out, but I mean, that only bumped the Angels up to 18-22. They're just a half game above Texas for, you know, the basement position in the AL West. So if you're looking at impact on a team, you can argue Vladdy's had more of an impact than Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani have. Because a lot of times with that MVP award, writers are going to be looking at records. Writers are going to be looking at team success. Did you propel your team to victory? Because that batting angle still has a higher element of team success than, like, the Cy Young, where you'll have a Felix Hernandez winning or a Jacob deGrom winning despite their team being mediocre. And what that means is the Blue Jays finally have someone akin to that Jose Bautista, to that Josh Donaldson, in the middle of their lineup and hitting like it. And, you know, for a team that has playoff aspirations, that's exactly what they need. They are still sitting second in the AL East at the time of recording. And, hey, shout out to those Rangers. They actually beat the Yankees tonight 5-2. So that's kind of funny. I laughed at that. Gerrit Cole lost. He gave up 5 runs. It was hilarious. But yeah, we figured the offense was going to play the big role in this, and it's finally doing so. And I'm really happy to see the work that Vladdy's put in is paying off. So kudos to him. I can't wait for this Boston series to start, so hopefully he can tee off on that Red Sox pitch and maybe start reeling them in a little bit. Toronto's going to be starting a game and a half back, so we'll talk about that more on tomorrow's episode when I do like the actual preview stuff. But before we start getting deeper into this, I want to talk to you about our new sponsor, Wealthfront. Wealthfront is a place where you can go to make investing less complicated. Like if you heard all the GameStop stuff and you're stonks and diamond hands and all that and just have no idea what's going on, Wealthfront can help you with that. It is a tool that is intending to make investing less complicated. Wealthfront has been trusted with over $20 billion worth of assets, and you can actually get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. No manual trades, no picking stocks. You don't have to watch the stock market every day, because I wouldn't do that. It's boring. Wealthfront will automatically handle all the investment based on preferences you control. You just need $500 to get started, and then you will get your first $5,000 managed for free for life at wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. That's wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB to start growing your savings. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB and get started today. This episode is also brought to you by Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk to fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. You'll find fans like you on Locker Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, reacting to the biggest news, or any rumors that come across the plate. You can start a conversation about any topic in the league. You'll even find Locked On hosts on there from the NBA, MLB, and NHL. I'll be joining the app when they have Android capabilities available. Right now, it is available on all iOS devices, so go download the Locker Room app now. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. There are a ton of incredible rooms on there around your favorite teams and leagues. I hope you all get the best out of it. I'll be sure to let you know when Locked On Blue Jays is on there. So download the Locker Room app today. Locker Room, changing the way we talk about sports. Okay, so when I was talking with Dan during the 2 episodes that we did together, we focused a lot on the starting pitching because we figured that was going to tell the tale of who's going to come away from this series with a victory. And it did play out that way, but not really the way we saw it. First of all, I was worried about Steven Matz and hoping that he had found something that would allow him to avoid the pitfalls he's had against Philadelphia in the past. He did. 5 shutout innings, struck out 9 Phillies in that game, left with a lead. But we'll talk about why Steven Matz did not pick up his 6th win of the season. A tally that I believe would have tied him for the league lead. Oh, no, Jack Flaherty's like 7-0. Sorry, would have tied him for second, but... Yeah, we will discuss that in the final segment, because I got some things about that. So the Blue Jays lose the opener, but game two was the one that Dan wanted to focus on because Aaron Nola was going in that one. Nola is Philly's ace, and he's had his own issues with consistently pitching on the road. And he did deliver a quality start for the Phillies. 6 2/3 innings, 3 runs, struck out 8. That's a really good start. Problem is, the Blue Jays actually got the performance they need out of Anthony Kay. And, I mean, when Nate Pearson was sent down and it's like, all right, Anthony Kay is going to have this rotation spot. I know a lot of people were, you know, feeling similarly to how I felt, which is, oh my God, what, this is going to be bad. But Anthony Kay went out there and had his best game of the season, and it came at the right time. 4 innings, hit his pitch count of about 80, struck out 6, walked 2, gave up just 1 hit, and it was a single. And actually got his ERA down to 1 digit. So, like, Kay looked like he was more in control of things. Of his 79 pitches, 50 of them were for strikes. He obviously had issues with his control earlier. And while the fly balls were still a bit up, of his 6 non-strikeout outs, 5 were via the fly ball. It's still a very positive step for Anthony to be able to actually establish himself a little better, especially with this opening he's gotten with Nate Pearson just looking like a lost child on the mound. Having Anthony Kay actually step up and do that takes the pressure off TJ Zoik, takes the pressure off Nate Pearson, takes the pressure off Alek Manoah, because I know I would have been among the chorus being like, call up Alek Manoah if Anthony Kay had another disappointing outing. But he didn't. And, you know, again, I'll talk about what helped him get that win in the third segment. But then Sunday, and I told Dan that the Blue Jays were probably going to be very happy to see their old friend Chase Anderson on the mound against them instead of pitching for them. And yeah, allowing 7 earned runs in 1 1/3 inning, that is going to do it. That is going to make Blue Jays fans very happy. And like, Robbie Ray didn't have to do much. He was kind of on cruise control for a little bit. Went 5 2/3, gave up 4 runs, struck out 9. 3 of those runs came on solo shots, 2 of them by Nick Matton, or Matone. I don't know how to pronounce his name. I just pronounce it, how the heck did you get both of them off of Robbie Ray? First 2 career home runs for Nick Matone, by the way. But again, the control was there with Robbie Ray. Only 1 walk. Continuing to show that he has his control back to the point where he can be effective enough with it. And like, he threw a lot. 112 pitches on Sunday. I think that's the highest I've seen from a Blue Jays starter in a long time. Because they were trying. They really wanted him to get that quality start. They wanted that 6 straight for Robbie Ray. Just couldn't do it. Just 1 long ball too many. But as long as they're solo shots, because when he was walking guys and turning those solo shots into 3-run shots, that's where Robbie got into problems. But He has been remarkably consistent. That was the fourth start in his last five outings where he's had at least 9 Ks and delivered close to 6 innings. So I'm very happy with that. I'm actually pretty happy overall with the starting pitching that the Blue Jays got in that series. And that is a nice thing to take moving into this set with the Red Sox, where Hyunjin Ryu is going to be on the mound. Assuming Ross Stripling is going to get another start. But if he pitches like he did against Atlanta, that won't be the Cy-inducing start I thought it was going to be. And then probably Mats will go again. And, you know, it's nice having some level of confidence in them. So I'm pleased with that. I'll talk about what I was displeased with from the pitching staff in a second. But I have to tell y'all about betonline.ag. The fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. With baseball season in full swing, the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs underway. You have WNBA, you have MLS, you have MMA. Whatever you want to get in on, you can head over to betonline.ag on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the news, odds, and info you need to make an informed decision. And if you sign up today using the promo code LOCKEDON, you receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for the playoffs and play in those playoffs. So go to betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So usually the bullpen segment is a happy segment. But there's one reason why it's not. And I think y'all know who that reason is. Because it's not Joel Pamps. Joel Pamps came out, gave up 2 hits and a walk over the series, over 2 1/3. But he was scoreless. Wasn't Travis Bergen. Another scoreless inning on Saturday for Bergen. Actually got the win. So he's 2-0. Don't look at his fielding independent pitching. You'll make yourself sad. Just look at that sparkling, spotless ERA. Same ERA as AJ Cole, who came out for an inning and 2/3. And was very effective in that Saturday game. It's not Jordan Romano. Jordan wasn't as sharp on his second back-to-back days. Because he was charged with a run. You can't really blame him, though. I mean, he didn't give up the hit. He walked the batter, and then Jeremy Beasley was not able to keep people from running on the base paths. And, you know, that's fine. I don't really expect relievers to have pickoff moves. But it was just kind of annoying just watching, like, stealing second and scoring like that. I don't know. Phillies were aggressive, but I don't blame Jordan Romano for that. I don't even blame Jeremy Beasley. Because he was just making his second and third appearances at the major league level. And he did good on Friday in kind of mop-up duty. But there's a reason why Jeremy Beasley was put into mop-up duty. And while Trent Thornton may have teed it up, Tim Mesa was the dagger. And Tim Mesa had about as bad a series as I think I've seen from any reliever in a while. He faced 3 batters on Friday. All of them scored. Gave up two walks and a hit. And that hit was a double to Rhys Hoskins. And, like, just kind of put that game out of reach for the Blue Jays. And let the Phillies just set up their bullpen perfectly. Sam Coonrod came out. Jose Alvarado came out. Hector Neris came out. Not a lot the Blue Jays could do. And then on Sunday, when the team was coasting, Robbie Ray had given up his four runs. That was fine. Pams came in, cleaned it up. Meza was given the eighth inning and gave the Phillies life again because he couldn't get out of said inning. Lasted two-thirds, gave up three hits. Two of those batters scored. And Meza's ERA ballooned from what had been a very respectable mark. I mean, like, when he went into that Oakland game, he was still rocking that 000 ERA, but you can kind of see, problems arising with the two walks in that game against Oakland. Since then, two runs given up to Houston, two runs given up to Atlanta, the three spot against Philly on Friday, and then the two spot on Sunday. And I'm not as certain that Tim Meza has a spot on this roster at this rate. I mean, I don't know if just something is off from what he had working for him in the spring, or what, if an adjustment was made that just does not work, but it does not work. Just his stuff has looked very pedestrian, and honestly, I don't know if he has a spot when some of these players come back from injury. I mean, Rafael Dolis is expected to return very soon. And, I mean, Jeremy Beasley will probably be the one to take the hit on that. But Ryan Borucki is also expected to be on the injured list for the minimum 10 days. So, when they come back, and then when Anthony Castro comes back, because he's throwing bullpens. Like, those are three spots that they're going to have to find places for. And like I said, Jeremy Beasley is an easy option. Even if you want to stick with the bullpen days, and try and stretch out Trent Thornton a little bit, Anthony Kay is an easy option. But right now, Travis Bergen is just flat out pitching Tim Meza. And I would rather keep Travis Bergen than Tim Meza. And I don't know, the problem with Meza is he's definitely out of options. So I don't think you can sneak him through. And I think it is easier to just option Travis Bergen, unfortunately. But Bergen is definitely the more effective lefty right now. And, like, the Blue Jays, I know they're in second place, but they're only a game up on New York for fourth. And I know it's May. But, you know, especially with a series against Boston coming up, you have to be able to manage everything properly and get all the wins you can. And, I mean, this is an important stretch. The next 10 games are all divisional rivals. Boston, four against Tampa, and then traveling to Yankee Stadium. And I don't think Tim Meza gives them the best shot right now. I think Travis Bergen gives them a better shot. So that is something the Blue Jays are going to have to deal with when Dolis and Borucki and Castro come off the IL. And we'll see how they choose to play it. But I think Tim Meza's put himself in jeopardy with this recent run of form. And that kind of sucks because I like Tim Meza, but it is what it is. If you want more of this podcast, that is what it is. You can subscribe on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you get podcasts, the Odyssey app. You can find it on there and subscribe to make sure you do not miss an episode. You can also check out Locked On Today, where local experts have weighed in on who should win MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, and Head Coach of the Year in the NBA. So get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow this podcast on Twitter and Facebook at Locked On Jays. The episode links are usually either posted there or retweeted or, you know, given at some point. So you can follow there if you don't want to get it all from a podcast app. And you can follow me on Twitter at @A_J_Andrews. The underscores are there because Twitter is dumb, but it lets me make my Chase Anderson joke, and y'all seem to like that, so thank you for that. I'll try and be back tomorrow with a series preview of Boston. I don't know if I'll be getting in touch with Gab. I'll have to talk with her, see how she's feeling. Might do another crossover, but we'll keep you posted on that. So, until next time, for everyone at the Locked On Podcast Network and everyone at ChaseRenacatch.com, I'm Angie Andrews. Thank you all so much for listening to this episode. And y'all take care.